Ms. Kijana, what is the number one place you want to visit that you haven't visited yet?
Thailand.
Thailand. Yes. Ooh, good one.
I've always wanted to visit Thailand. I've always wanted to ride an elephant there.
Oh, fabulous.
Just an elephant in good health. I just don't want to be like an abusive elephant rider.
Now, may I question you, have you ever experienced an elephant in bad health?
Yes, I have.
Oh no, tell us all about it.
Well, I mean, I've had the chance to ride an elephant before, and I didn't like the way it
didn't make you feel good.
No.
No, I can imagine. But I'm sure if we find like a proper sanctuary, you know?
Yeah.
Somewhere where they're really being taken care of.
Yeah, if it's humane.
If it's humane, yeah. We'll have to do some research on that.
Yeah, you're right.
But absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the idea of Thailand. It's a beautiful locale.
Same.
Haven't been either.
Now, I do like Thai food a lot.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so true. The idea of having nothing but Thai for the entire trip sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Wow. My number one, I believe, is Australia.
Nice. That makes a lot of sense.
I just love it.
Yeah.
And also, it just seems like so unlike anywhere I've ever been, but also exactly like a lot of places I've been, you know what I mean? Okay, my friend, well, welcome to As the Garden Grows.
Welcome.
We're back in this growing garden. Mm-hmm. We are going to pretty much stay off topic today.
Yeah, we have a new setup.
We do have a new setup. I moved my home office downstairs, if you will. So we're out of my bedroom.
Yeah.
And so we'll see how this goes. We'll definitely see how this goes. You let us know in the comments. Now, let's get started with the star cast, because then we're just going to veer totally off topic and we're not going to get back on. So with the star cast, we have upcoming July 29th, the day, of course, the Blessed Beyoncé album drops.
Yes.
Through to the 4th of August.
Cool.
Can you believe it's already going to be August?
Yeah.
Wow. We are really...
I really can.
Ooh, the time is... not flying these days. Okay.
It's doing something.
On Saturday the 30th, my birthday.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Thank you so much. Now, this is interesting to everyone, but also particularly to me.
Yeah.
And the Mercury in Leo is opposed Saturn in Aquarius, which is where both of my placements are.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Very interesting. And are your placements in opposition?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
But I'd love to look it up.
I would too. Yeah, I mean, Mercury and Saturn in opposition. I think the Aquarius piece is really big too.
Yeah.
Because Mercury is exalted in Aquarius, but Mercury and Saturn do have very kind of like different ways of approaching life.
Yeah.
Especially in terms of timing and how they do it.
Absolutely.
So it should be an interesting day.
Interesting day. Okay. Yeah. Look for it. Then the following day on Sunday, the 31st, we have the Sun in Leo trining Jupiter in Aries.
That's very nice.
It's going to be a fun day.
I think
Fiery day.
I think so. Ooh. Because also the Sun is home in Leo.
Okay.
So just in a very, you know, strong position there. And I think a trine from Jupiter is obviously super supportive and really nice, very blessed and, you know... Jupiter is in Aries, so yeah.
Excuse JoJo's growling if you heard her. A little background. She's just letting us know. I'd like to be involved.
The first time she's ever guest, seen. Yeah.
If you ever need a guest on the pod. Yeah. Okay, perfect. So the following day, we have fun almost every day, by the way, again this week. On Monday the 1st, Mars in Taurus is conjunct Uranus in Taurus.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, wow. Write it down for Monday.
I don't know if I would call that fun, but I definitely think something will probably hit the fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But I always
think... First of the month, Monday, something's going to hit the fan.
Something's going to hit the fan. But I always think that when Uranus is involved, yes, it's a little bit like... blow up-y, but at the same time, it's always with the intention of putting things back together in a better way.
Okay.
So I think that there's always, like, because Uranus, it's a high vibrational kind of energy. You know, it's not...
It's advanced.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is, because it's like a higher octave of even Mercury. So, you know, I think it does what it does with the intention of things coming back together in a better way.
I like that. And as we know, in every aspect of everything, like, things need to be torn down before they can be built up better. You know what I mean? We learn that in lesson in life all too much. Now, let's move on to Tuesday the 2nd. Venus in Cancer sextiles both Uranus and Mars in Taurus.
Okay, yeah, because they're, like, right, they're conjunct, basically.
A little mesh up, if you will.
Well, sextiles are like Venus's transits. She does like those, and she can't, you know, it will be like supportive in a way. Probably it will be bringing in some type of nurturing energy around whatever happened, whatever came up in the on the day of the conjunction or whatever's like coming up.
Okay.
I think the Venus sextile will bring some support to it, like some welcomed kind of like support and, you know, guidance around it that feels very like nurturing and very loving.
Oh, nice. Okay. And it's nice that that comes just a day or two after, yeah. You know? Gives you time to reflect, mm-hmm. but not feel too lost, yeah. You know? Now, on Wednesday the 3rd, our last one, Mercury enters Virgo. How's she do there?
Loves. Mercury rules Virgo.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
Loves.
So, loves to be home, obviously, you know? And, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting, you know, Mercury and Virgo season.
How does this change how we communicate?
I think it's a little bit more precise. It's a little bit more on point. I think Mercury is more of the kind of detailed side. I mean, Virgo is the more detailed side of Mercury, whereas Gemini is the more like curious side of Mercury. That's okay. Like asking the questions. Virgo kind of like has the answers already.
Yeah, and is meticulous about
yeah,
it.
Exactly. So it's a lot of like combing through things and like, you know, really dotting your I's and crossing your T's and that kind of thing.
Okay. Perfect for that, you know, like, I hate to say like, we're approaching like that back to school time, you know?
Yeah.
But it's true. The world just keeps spinning. Mm-hmm. Now, that's it. That's what we got for the StarCast in the upcoming week. So nice. Be ready. The only day we have off from a transit is Thursday. So a day of rest, if you will. Now, let us go, my dear friend, right off topic.
Let's go.
Let's spin this train right off the tracks and talk about the insane amount of information we got from San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Regarding the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
You guys. There's oh my God. Now, I know everyone on this pod is super excited about this because our Marvel Power Hour is like our best episode we had in a while.
Marvel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, the people love their Marvel.
Wow. I love that for all of us.
So we're all aligned. No surprise, we're all aligned on that as well. So we are just going to go through everything. We learned so much stuff. So let's get going. buckle up. Put your capes on, if you will. Now, phase 4, we found out, is actually ending with Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
In November.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, because that's different from what Kevin Feige has said in the past.
Yes.
Right? He said phase 4 would end with Fantastic Four.
Yes.
Which obviously
which will come
not,
up again later, not, yeah. But can you imagine?
Yeah.
Imagine if we were waiting this whole time. Like, how long is it going to be, my friend?
Yeah.
I also don't really recall, I guess it used to be less pronounced, the ending of phases, like, live in the moment, but yeah. I don't ever remember it being so close. Like, I don't remember them being like, oh, in just, like, two or three months, this phase is going to end,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very interesting, and obviously it's not ending with an Avengers, so it's, like, a different kind of spin.
What I think, though, is that, like, they're hearing people say that, like, what the fuck, phase 4 has been so long.
They're hearing the critiques.
Yeah. And
not
so,
from
and
us.
I do think it's like, all right, let's wrap this up. Let's get some direction. You know, where are we going? What's happening here?
How do we get here? Where are we going?
Yeah. Because I think a lot of people are feeling really lost. Like, I think in the first 3 phases, people felt really, like, comforted by the little things that they were seeing over and over again, even though they were so small.
The Tesseract.
But it was like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like the Tesseract. And then the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Like, people were really comforted and, like, believed that they had, like, this connected story.
Yeah.
But in this phase, like, people are, like, just not believing it at all. They're like, what the fuck is
happening? People
are
of so little faith with the MCU.
Oh my God.
They're like, what's going on? It's like, do you want to watch?
They're also, not being creative. Like, they're not going to do the same exact thing they did in the last time. Like, it's not going
to
be such an obvious connection. Yeah. So, like, just wait a minute. Like, have some patience. Let it shake out a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do, I think I agree with their move to end phase 4.
I think it's definitely time.
Because I'm ready to, like, just also
Well,
move
just
on.
In terms of, like, because obviously phase 4 is the first with the Disney Plus show. So, in terms of hours of entertainment, this is just the longest goddamn phase we've ever.
Yeah.
We didn't even know we could get this.
Like, we didn't, no.
Which, you know, an embarrassment of riches. Love it. Don't get me wrong. But I do think you're
Who doesn't?
Right. It's time that we close the chapter. So the ending of phase 4, we saw the trailer for Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow, looks amazing.
You react first. What happened when you saw it?
I mean, I was super touched. Mm. I loved the music, the way that they played that like Thames version of No Woman, No Cry into Kendrick Lamar's All Right. I thought that was just so dope. I think also, like, overall, because I actually went back and watched Black Panther again yesterday because I was, like, inspired. And it's been really hard for me to watch that movie in recent years, especially because of, like, the death of Chadwick Boseman. And also, like, it's a big one for me emotionally. And I've seen it the most out of any MCU movie because even before I was, like, so obsessed with Marvel, I was always obsessed since the day it came out with Black Panther. Like, I had seen it a bunch of times in theaters.
Yeah.
I'd watched it a bunch of times. So anyways, yeah, like, I haven't watched it as much recently, but I did go back and watch it, and I was like, this movie is so powerful, and it's so visually beautiful, and they do so many amazing things, like, in the Wakanda universe, and I love it. So I was super excited because, I mean, I just know that we're going to get a really beautiful story, and I think what, like, really impresses me about Black Panther is that, like, it's everything. Like, there's moments where it's, like, funny and cute, but then it's, like, so deep, and it hits you on so many different levels, and, like, there's just so much going on there. So, and also, like, it's really beautiful because it's very clear, especially in that trailer, that, like, the entire cast was, like, grieving in the process of, and I don't know if you saw their interviews that they did at San Diego Comic-Con, but I did catch a couple of them.
Tell us.
They were just really, like, speaking to just what a spiritual process it was in terms of, like, honoring their friend who had passed away and who was such a big part of that, very much so, like, the leader of that tribe. So, you know, it's just really beautiful. It feels really authentic, that cast and that crew.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited to watch them.
I totally agree. It looked amazing. I think one of the greatest things about Black Panther is, like, that is the most established culture I think we get in the MCU, like, in terms of a background, a set of beliefs, a place, an ideology. Like, Wakanda is the most, like, fleshed out in terms of, like, being real people. So you really feel that coming off the screen. And the idea that Chadwick was this person that was, like, the figurehead in real life and in the show and in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so important. And to see that they kind of, like, wrote in his death in a way that, like, you know, Angela Bassett's giving that amazing speech. I know. We're all in tears watching the trailer, talking about how she lost everyone in her family. And it's like, this comes from a real place.
Yeah,
you know?
It definitely does.
Oh, I have goosebumps just talking about it. Like, it is truly going to be amazing.
Super excited to see that.
And I'm just excited, too, for, like, we were talking about, like, the cultural moment. Like, Black Panther was such a cultural moment. Every person in the country saw that movie. It felt like that was, like, one of the number one, you know, best selling. It's gonna be just so exciting to see, especially now in, like, the post Spider-Man era and the post Doctor Strange era, like, to see just how many people are gonna turn out and go over and over. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it is. I'm so excited.
Can't wait. Now, the other most important thing coming out of Wakanda is Winston Duke. Oh my god. First of all, choke me to death with those thighs. What a thick man. I love him so much. And he is really, like, he's like the king of Thoughtlandia on Instagram. Like, I absolutely love this new, like, as there's this meme of Dylan O'Brien doing this interview saying I'm entering my slut era. And I feel like that's really him. I love it. I'm so excited for this.
He seems like a really cool guy.
He seems so, like, cool and enlightened and, like, just amazing and just.
And I think he was born in Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's, like, I don't know his, like, whole backstory, but I'm pretty sure he was born in Trinidad and Tobago.
Whew. My temperature's raising.
Yeah, he's a cutie for sure.
Oh my god, to say the least.
He brought a lot of humor to the first Black Panther.
I love his character as well.
He's a cool actor. Like, he's
someone that can do all kinds of roles, too.
A true thespian.
He is. He went to Yale.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So did Jonathan Majors, actually.
Yeah. Wow. Because they took a picture together and they were like, Yale-ies, you know what I mean?
Oh, so
it's so cute.
I love you guys.
Ooh, put me right in the middle, you know? Anyway, let's move on to phase five. Okay. We got a lot of great news about phase five. So we learned some new things. First of all, Daredevil shall be born again. Not only born again, for 18 episodes.
That's probably the thing I'm most shocked about.
100%.
It just doesn't seem like anything like that they've done.
It's a totally different approach.
Yeah.
And we know, like, we've talked a lot about how the shows are filmed like kind of
like movies.
Long movies. Yeah. And then split up. So is it going to be filmed like
episodes? I don't know.
I don't know.
I I think that, like, part of what's going on is another, this is another place where, like, Marvel is listening, and, like, the 6-episode format is just, like, not doing it for enough. People. It's, I think it's, like, inducing stress and anxiety amongst.
Especially when we get to episode 5 and it seems like everything's never going to be wrapped
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's like, what's going to happen here?
We can't possibly.
We can't keep doing this. And you shouldn't do it to us. I don't think that, or at least, like, only announcing one season of all these shows.
I was going
to
say that, too. Also, if they were more open to saying they're going to come for multiple seasons, like, it hurts me not knowing what's going on with Ms. Marvel.
Yeah,
like, we know we're going to see her, but we also need her in our own show. Like, yeah. We need to explore
I feel
more
that way
that.
About Moon Knight. As
yes.
Well, as
oh, my God.
I really deeply loved that show.
100%.
I think, though, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they did this Daredevil series as, like, a 3-part thing where we were getting, like, 6 episodes at a time.
Yeah.
I would be really, like, I'm hard-pressed to believe that they're just going to do, like, 18 weeks of episode dropping with Daredevil.
It just doesn't seem like them.
It
but
doesn't.
I'd love
but
it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I'm excited. I trust the Marvel.
100%. I trust whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
100%. Now we learned that Blade is finally coming in November. Finally.
Next year,
yep. In phase 5. Finally.
Yeah.
It has been quite some time since we've heard about Blade.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
it's been it's one of those that's been announced for so long.
Yeah, because they announced it like in 2019.
Yeah.
So it's crazy that it is 2022.
Do you want to get around to shooting that thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, we did get that little teaser in The Eternals.
We did.
In the post-credit scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm super excited for Blade, although, like, I'm, again, like, increasingly curious to see. And same with characters like Daredevil. Like, some of these darker characters, I'm really curious to see how they're going to introduce them into the MCU.
Yeah.
Especially, like, characters like both Blade and Daredevil, because they both have, like, A, cult followings from, you know, their past iterations.
Yep.
And B, like, very pronounced stories that are just traditionally darker than what we've seen, like, on these Disney Plus shows.
100%.
So, you know, Blade, I think, can probably get away with being a little darker. It'll be interesting to see, because it's a movie. It'll be interesting to see how Daredevil will pop out. But either way, super excited for Blade, super excited for what is potentially going to come after Blade.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I think, too, an interesting note on that is how they just added the Deadpools and Logan, the first R-rated movies on Disney+. So I definitely think, too, Disney+ is open to moving in a more adult direction.
Yeah.
And again, I'll just say it every time, the saddest part of this is that we couldn't get there before Lizzie McGuire. Sadly, was canceled because it was going to be too adult.
Yeah.
That is a stain on this world, and I'd like to travel to the multiverse where that show was produced.
Yeah.
Now, we also learned that Agatha House of Harkness is now being called Agatha Coven of Chaos.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's giving Wanda vibes.
It's definitely giving Wanda vibes. I also love the idea of, like, we're going to get a bunch of witches in
this. A bunch of witches. There's one witch called Enchantress who looks a little bit like Wanda, but she wears green. And she seems really cool, and, like, she's had a lot of stories in the comics that are connected with Agatha.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because Agatha in the comics has also been at many times, like, a friend to Wanda.
Interesting.
And a supporter of
Wanda.
In a way, yeah. It depends, I guess, on who's doing the comic run.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's writing it. But, so it'll just be interesting to see, like, I think the idea is that now that Wanda has, like, destroyed the Darkhold in every universe, like, people who she has put under spells are free from them, maybe?
Oh, and that would make sense, too, if she's actually dead, which, like, obviously no one here believes she does, but she is. But it would stand to reason that if she was going to go so far as to fake her death, she would, like, drop the spells, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah, so we'll see. That'll be very interesting.
I'm excited, too, like, down the line, just to, like, explore more of the in-depth of, like, what makes a witch, as opposed to a mutant, as opposed to someone with powers,
it's
you know
so
what I mean?
It's so interesting, because, like, in Doctor Strange, like, he was, like, saying to Wanda, like, you're calling yourself a witch. Like, it was this bad
like
thing.
Like, it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
And even in WandaVision, like, when she embraced the Scarlet Witch identity, like, that was, like, a turning point, but it's, like, isn't she always been a witch? Isn't that the point?
But I get why there's, like,
a distinction
between, like, the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
because,
like a mythical figure.
Yes, who's, like, destined to, like, destroy the world.
Yeah.
But with, like, just a witch.
Right.
You know
just
what I
like
mean?
Just like Agatha,
like,
on
why
the
can't
street.
People?
Yeah.
Well, Agatha sucks.
Yeah, that's true.
She's also not a good
She's
example.
A tough character. I'm
going
to be interested, too, to see, like, where that is in the timeline. Like, because theoretically, it could be in the 1600s. You know what I mean? Like, it could be any time.
Maybe.
So, we've got Agatha coming. That'll be fun. Now, Captain America 4. We got a title and a date. New World Order.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? New World Order scares me.
I wonder if it's going to be, like, very, like, conspiracy theory, like, driven. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure... I think what Captain America overall has done a great job of is, like, connecting the Marvel Cinematic Universe to, like, what's going on in our world.
Yeah.
You know? And I think
I totally agree.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier did a really good job.
Yes.
But I do think that, like, it'll be interesting to see who's the actual, like, villain in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't necessarily care to see just, like, Sharon Carter.
Me either. Like, I hope she's got to be a pawn in something.
Yeah,
bigger.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm tired of this, like, trope of, like, good people becoming, like, extremely leftist or whatever it
is.
It's like, okay, guys, we get it.
Sometimes, like, to what you were saying earlier, like, it does such a good job of being grounded in reality. Sometimes it's too deep.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Like, for me. I'm like, okay, we're not, like, is this a docuseries? You know what I mean? Like,
but, like, the whole thing of, like, the Flag Smashers and the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, like, I think there were a lot of people, even John Walker, I think there were a lot of, like, John Walker sympathizers.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean?
No,
I totally agree. And I wonder if that was like, right?
It's so weird. I'm like, really? Okay.
And like, do you think that's intentional? Like, do you think from the Marvel marketing of it all, it's like we can hit all the fan bases? Or do you think they're going to build them up to show like how dangerous that can be?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Because I wonder what their personal thought is. Yeah. I mean, they're owned by Disney, so anything, you know.
Exactly. It's exactly. It's really hard to say.
Okay. Actually, along these lines, Thunderbolts.
I know.
Exciting.
So that's going to end phase 5.
Yep.
Nice.
Thunderbolts is the last of
phase 5. I'm super excited
five.
About Thunderbolts. I think it'll be like a very, I think it'll just be a new type of story that they're telling because I think a lot of the people that are going to be on the Thunderbolts are going to be like what we consider anti-heroes.
Yeah.
So that'll be like cool because we've not seen
them. If they don't have my friend Yelena, I won't be attending.
I think it will be Yelena. If not, she'll be doing something
She's
else.
She's got to be in there.
Do you think a lot of people think Zemo's going to be on the Thunderbolts?
Apparently, Zemo's like the number one Thunderbolt in the comics, or he like started it or
and
something.
I get that. But like the last we saw Zemo, he was being dragged off by the Dora Milaje.
Yeah.
Like back to Wakanda. Like, who thinks they're going to let him out?
I wonder if it's going to come up in
Wakanda forever.
Yeah. Maybe he escaped or something, but how would he? I mean, he's slippery.
Well, I don't know, because it looks like Wakanda's about to get destroyed.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, my God. Also, just the whole idea that we're going to Atlantis.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah.
I love Atlantis.
It seems like it's not
going
to be called Atlantis, though.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's like Tlokan or something. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, okay, okay. Because they're changing it to be of, like, Mexican influence, right?
Yeah.
Which is really cool, too.
Yeah, it's like a Mayan culture.
And again, like, culture. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love that component of the Black Panther series that... It was, you know, came around in Ms. Marvel, too, and, like, the Eternals as well.
Came around in Ms. Marvel, Shang-Chi.
Yeah. Oh, Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised we didn't hear about Shang-Chi, too.
Shang-Chi, too.
Dos.
Well, if you notice, for Phase 6, there's a lot of unannounced
there
titles.
There are.
So I'm sure that at D23 or whatever it is, that
yes. So, guys, in September, there's also this Disney conference, D23, and we think they're going to get a lot of, we're going to get a lot of, like, the TV show news then. And hopefully some other movies,
too. Yeah, we'll get some other movies, too.
I wouldn't be surprised. When do you think we're going to see, this is just an aside, Kate Bishop again? I miss her.
Miss her, too, but I don't know.
And America Chavez?
I'm telling
where
you.
Where are
the
girls?
So many things were left on the table.
As Bethany once said, calling all my girls. Okay, where are they? Now, some other things we learned about. Okay, this is wild. Spider-Man freshman year. Not coming till 2024. And then also, they've already given it sophomore year. So we're going to get freshman and sophomore year, but not till 2024. Also, they said that some of the villains in there are going to be Harry Osborn. So it's obviously not a prequel anymore. Because when they first announced it, it was like a prequel to our Tom Holland Spider-Man. But obviously, that's not the case anymore. So, wow, just a lot has changed.
Yeah, I don't really get the whole Spider-Man freshman year thing. It's kind of like one of those things that I'll believe it when I see it.
My other thing is, one thing I always say that I love about the MCU Spider-Man is that we didn't have to tell that same tired story of him getting bitten by a spider.
Yeah.
And now we're going to it. And now we're going to have 2 years of it. I mean, it's totally fine and I'll watch it, obviously. I love any Spider-Man product. But it's also a question of, it's weird why cartoons take so long. Like, I mean, I get it.
I literally thought that was going to be dropping, like, any day now.
Yeah.
So, I'm so confused about
astounded.
It. Yeah.
100%.
Same with What If Season 2. I thought that was going to be dropping any day now.
Right. And again,
not coming into next year.
I thought, no offense, like Disney, I thought animation was kind of like your thing.
Yeah. You know, like, I thought that's what you do.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah. And yes, yeah, so our final big chunk of news was a preview of Phase 6. Like mm-hmm. you said, a lot of stuff was still not announced, but the fact that we're in what's called the multiverse saga. Mm-hmm. Ooh. Mm-hmm. What a time to be alive. Of all the floating rocks in existence to be here during Phase 6. Okay, well, God willing. Starts with Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
In November of 2024, which is a big LOL since, as we talked about earlier, that was supposed to be the movie that ended Phase 4.
Yeah.
So we've lost a whole phase in translation here.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people I'm sure you see are talking online that Fantastic Four is coming because, of course, Kang is a descendant of Reed Richards.
Allegedly. That's not proven. No.
No?
In the comics, he is... Oh, I can't remember it exactly. He doesn't directly descend from Reed Richards.
What?
I know. And then there's a comic...
Because he has the same name as his dad. Because they're both Nathaniel Richards. And his dad was a time traveler, and that's how it all started.
That's what it is. He descends from Nathaniel Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so does Reed.
Well, yes, but... Like, Nathaniel, the original Nathaniel, like, did some shit along the timeline.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's how young Nathaniel got here.
Right.
But, like, he didn't, like, come time after Reed.
He's not, like, a grandchild.
No. Like, you have to read it in the comics. Like, they make it clear.
Okay.
But also, there's a comic run where he's, like, potentially related to Doctor Doom. You know what's kind of funny? Kang is actually, like, really dumb in the comics.
Really?
He's obviously smart because he's like coordinating this whole thing. And yeah. You're like, how are you doing it? But he's also kind of like dumb and kind of like aloof, if that's the right word.
Oh, I love that.
Because he's like he doesn't really know. Like, he meets Dr. Doom at one point and he's like, are we the same? Are you a variant of me? He like doesn't even always know who's who.
Oh, wow.
Because he like at one point thinks he is Dr. Doom. And then at another point he thinks he's a descendant of Dr. Doom, of Victor Von Doom.
Wow.
So it's very hard to tell, but like he could be related to, I mean, he's definitely not a direct descendant of Reed Richards, but he is in the family line. And then there's also, he could potentially be related to Dr. Doom. I don't think they fleshed that story out yet.
Oh, well, I hope they get around to it. I really hope they get around to it.
I don't know.
But no matter what, he is distinctly interconnected with the Fantastic Four. So we obviously need to meet them.
Yeah. And before the Kang dynasties. And because it's Doom technology, I think.
Yeah, that allows him to travel.
That allows him to travel through time. So that's part of how he is connected to Dr. Doom as well.
And we saw that first Doom portal in Multiverse of Madness.
True.
So they are laying the groundwork
for
that.
Those portals are, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right.
So, wow.
Yeah, Fantastic Four, though.
Now, who's your dream cast for Fantastic Four or any dream people?
I have
anyone
so
you want?
Many.
Oh.
I mean, just like...
Well, we talked about Taraji.
Yeah, I would love to see Taraji as Sue Storm. I think that would be so cool. I literally think she would be such a hilarious, amazing Sue Storm. Oh, that would be so cool. But I doubt that that's
going to
happen.
Let's put it out there.
I mean, it would just be so cool. A lot of people are talking about Amanda Seyfried for Sue Storm. And I could see it.
I could see it.
And I'll be happy about it if she becomes Sue Storm. I'm just like, it would just be so cool to see a not all white Fantastic Four.
I kind of agree. And I kind of would be shocked if they did that.
Yeah, but if they're just going to make the thing the person of color, it's also like kind
that's
of a huge
just
throwaway.
Offensive
yeah.
Also.
Like, you don't even get to see that person in their natural form for the most part. So like... You know what I mean? Like, I'm not super interested in that either. So it's very complicated with the Fantastic Four. But, you know, I would honestly like to see some of these younger kids. Even though a lot of people really want an old Fantastic Four, I personally don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. The more we talk about it, I like the idea of them being, like, in their 30s. Because then we get a lot more time with them. Plus, that's an age range we're kind of missing in the MCU right now. People are older and people are younger.
Yeah.
There's not really any middle-aged people.
Yeah.
Oh, God, is that us?
No,
anyway,
I think
go
there
ahead.
Are. I think there are. I think a lot of, like, the Black Panther people are in their 30s.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jonathan Majors is in his 30s, and there's stuff.
Do you think Kang will be in his 30s, though?
Kang is timeless. There's no age to Kang.
No, but, like, the variant has lived for a number of years.
Yeah, but he's timeless. It's not, like, no.
Like, Ramona Singer just ageless.
Yeah, you can't put an age on Kang.
Okay.
But anyways.
I'm just trying to nail it down too hard. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It's
not possible.
It's not.
Now, the obvious, the huge announcement, the pièce de résistance, the cherry on top, was two Avengers movies in 2025.
Back to back,
The Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars. Can you believe we're already at Secret Wars?
So first and foremost, let's just manage expectations. That'll be closer to 2027.
Listen, I don't know.
Don't be foolish.
This is when they've been announced.
Now, there's eight more projects that they're supposed to be popping out between 2024 and 2025. I mean, that's a little bit insane.
They better get started now.
And have you heard about all this uproar from VFX artists and studios about Marvel and how they're just like the worst to work for and how they make changes to projects 48 hours in advance of their release, which I'm sure is like
impossible. First of all, yeah, it is, but that's what they do. That's why the movies are so great.
Don't take
the job.
I feel like it's also like we live in a capitalist society. Why are you guys actually brand new? But also like whatever.
Also, you're working for Disney. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it can't be. Like, you guys didn't think you were working for the best company in America.
Also, I don't mean to be rude, but like the privilege of getting to say I did the visual effects for a Marvel film.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I think everyone should get paid. I think nobody should ever feel like they are being like abused or like, you know, exploited in their work. I don't think that.
100%.
But there has been a lot of uproar coming out about VFX artists. But what I think and what I've gathered is that it's more like it seems like they're going to be unionizing, which
they should.
They should.
Everyone else in Hollywood is union.
Yeah. And B, it seems like it's more the responsibility of the studios, like the VFX studios that take on these contracts because it's up to them to manage how many people are on the
projects.
And how much they charge for the project and all of that. So it's more like they need better like administrative support and advocacy within their industry. But I really don't know how we got here.
I'm glad you brought it to my attention. I hadn't heard about this VFX revolt, but they better get their little butts to work because two Avengers coming in 2025. So we've got the Kang Dynasty and we've got Secret Wars. I can't even imagine where we're going to go in terms of VFX.
I can't either. And I also have to say, I'm so shocked that Secret Wars is slated for a 2025 release date. I thought it was going to be like 2030 before we saw Secret
Honestly,
Wars.
Honestly, I thought that was like the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Like that's what we were going to in the long run. I totally agree. We thought we were like 10 years out from that.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It is. And to me, it's wild.
Like, as we know in the comics, like Secret Wars ends with like them like recreating everything. So like it's exciting too
to think.
Well,
at least I've only read one run of Secret Wars.
The recent one. Yeah.
The 2015 run. And it does seem like they will be adapting that. Although I still want to go back and read the earlier ones because I feel like they're still going to take some stuff from those.
For sure.
But I do think that what they're going to do is take a lot from this 2015 run of Secret Wars. And
you guys should all read it. It's so good.
You should read it. I had to read it twice to understand it.
Yeah.
I really didn't understand it the first time I read it. And then I had to go back and read it again. But what I will say is that it's very like desolate. Like it's sad.
It's a bummer.
It's such a bummer.
It's a huge bummer
of a story. It doesn't end in even like the best way. It's not like when Secret Wars ended for me, when I was reading in the comics, I wasn't like, yay, like I get it. I was like, this is going to be really sad. And like, if this is where we're heading, I was like, this is going to suck. Like, I just think people are going to like leave the theaters being like, oh my God, like, is the MCU dead now?
I do think that's how it is going to be. I think it's going to feel like, oh my God, is the MCU dead?
Like, how would we even?
Like, how do we? But then I think creatively,
cool
I really understand how they build a new world.
Yeah, that would be really, really cool to see.
Especially when we talk about like X-Men, like still people we haven't met yet and still people that theoretically we aren't even slated to meet yet. Like that'll be interesting to see how a new world order is established, if that's how they go. But we have no idea.
Yeah, we have no clue.
Because if you asked us 3 days ago if Secret Wars was going to come out in the next couple of years, we just said, absolutely not. Are you okay?
They're not ready
like,
for
are
Secret
you well?
Wars. Like, not even close.
And I'm shocked that they are, but I guess we have a couple of years. At least a couple.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I don't think we'll be seeing those movies in 2025, though.
Because they get backed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's true.
I mean,
we have had to shift so much stuff.
Like, look at the Marvels. The Marvels was supposed to be out
Yeah.
In November.
And it's true because, like, even though COVID, like, is, like, theoretically over, like, there's never going to be time to get that back. You know what I mean? So there's, it's not like they canceled any projects that they already announced. Right. And now they're
still going to announce more.
And there's still blank spots.
And if you look at phase four, when they originally announced it to what it is now, there's way more projects ended up being in phase four than what they announced. Yeah. So anyways.
It's going to be very interesting. Again, what a time to be alive in the MCU. Very excited. Wow. okay, and then another huge bit of news that we must discuss.
Yeah.
We, of course, talked about it immediately. The Choco Taco.
Oh, my God.
Rest in paradise to the Choco Taco.
That is so crazy because we've been talking about the Choco Taco.
First of all, we've been talking about it for a year.
At least, right?
Like, at least.
Just
on and off. Just in conversation.
On and off, we've, like, we originally brought up, like, how significant the Choco Taco was to us in
personally,
childhood.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, how... Number one, frozen dessert.
I think we, like, heard an ice cream truck.
Yep.
I believe this is exactly what happened. We, like, heard an ice cream truck, and I was, like...
I would always get a Choco Taco.
Like, anytime I went to an ice cream truck as a child, I would always get a Choco Taco. Like, if they didn't have it, maybe a Tweety Bird. But I honestly prefer...
Maybe a strawberry shortcake.
The strawberry shortcakes were amazing. But I honestly prefer Choco Taco. Like, that was my number one go-to. And so we've talked about in the last year, like, can we recreate the Choco Taco?
Yeah.
As you know, I have been foraying into waffle cone making, mm-hmm. and I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And so we had
your Secret Wars is the Choco Taco. We're approaching that. You know what I'm saying? That's, like, a big project.
For real. I'm going to need all the VFX support
We're going to need a lot more administrative support for that, but we're on our way.
And then yesterday I was just scrolling through Reddit and it was, like, number one on my little news section. It was like,
I cannot
the Choco Taco
it.
Has been discontinued. And I was like, what? Like, first of all, how sad is it that kids will be growing up in a world without Choco Tacos at the ice cream truck?
They just won't know. They just won't
know. That, to me, is, like,
we're
going to
say it. We're going to be grandparents. We're going to be like, remember the Choco Taco?
Well, no, my grandkids will have one because I will be making it for them. But how sad is that, that there are going to be kids in this world growing up with no Choco Tacos?
What do they even offer in the ice cream truck? Like, are there new things that are taking the place of, like, are the kids not ordering Choco Taco? Like, I need to get to the bottom of this.
I don't know. You know what's so funny? In Jamaica, the ice cream, there's an ice cream guy. He rides around on his motorbike and he has ice cream, but it's actual, like, scooped ice cream.
Oh, delicious. First of all, what a service.
Isn't that kind of cool?
That is luxury.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Anyways.
We should have one of those on the grounds at our hotel one day.
We definitely will.
Oh my God.
We absolutely will, of course. But yeah, so it's just so interesting. Yeah, I don't know. It's so sad. It's a sad world that
it's very devastating. I do hope that, like, in the spirit of the what are those called with the frosting and the dip, Dunkaroos. Mm. Excuse me. Turning 30. The Dunkaroos, I hope they have a comeback. I hope this inspires people to be like,
someone
we need to get Choco Tacos back.
Yeah.
And as we said, we're going to have to do our best to figure out how to make them inedible.
Yes.
And then imagine getting people to come to the bakery for Choco Tacos.
I'm sure you guys will be coming for Choco Tacos at some point in the future.
It's important to us.
It's important to me, for sure. Very, very much so. But yeah, I mean, also another candy that somewhat made a comeback but hasn't quite gone mainstream yet are Mary Janes. I personally really love
Mary
Janes.
Well, you're just single-handedly keeping those in business.
Well, I'm not doing a very good job because I cannot find them anywhere.
They're sold out?
Yeah. Oh, but, like, what happened was, like, the company, I think NECA, like, either went out of business or they just discontinued it. And then this other company bought the recipe and they started making them. But, like, they just don't seem to be, like, making them in.
They're just not doing it enough.
Yeah. So, anyways, it's super
it's
sad.
It's like a Skims model now.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know the Skims model.
You know, just, like, there's not enough, you know, like, increased demand by not having enough supply. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're doing with the old Mary Janes.
Anyways.
That's so sad.
Yeah, so
tough way to end it, but RIP to the Choco Taco.
Yeah.
Okay, now just before we close out with a little Root to Rise, I want to remind everyone that this Saturday, the day of my birth, send me any compliments, but also it's the last day to sign up for the Green Veggie Babe workshop with us. It's going to be so good.
Yeah.
It's the day of August 6th. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to learn how to do facials. You know all about it. We've been talking about it nonstop. But just letting you know, the cutoff is the 30th. So do not DM us anytime after that asking about it. It will be done. So please get your sign
because
in.
Because we have to let Green Veggie Babe know how many people are coming so that she can get everything prepared. obviously we want to give her the time that she needs mm-hmm. to get everything really, you know.
And we're all walking ready. Away with a bunch of supplies and a box, you know what I mean?
So and the longer she has, to get it, the more she has to make sure that, like, she can actually get everything for everyone. So,
exactly.
Yeah, sign up, guys.
Oh, it's going to be the best. It's going to be life-changing. And the entire garden team will be there, so if you want to hang with us, it's a great day.
True.
Okay, shall we close out with a little Root to Rise?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay. Mine is that I've just been reminded this week that, like, meditation is my number one thing. Mm. Like, it is just my, we talked about, I think, on the podcast, like, I just haven't been meditating lately. And this week I got back into, like, the actual act of sitting, thinking, putting on a meditation maybe, or just putting on some nice of those healing frequencies that you gave me. Mm-hmm. And I just realized, like, nothing makes me feel better than that. Nothing. Yeah. Not, like, Prozac, not going for exercise, not anything.
Yeah.
Not a nap. Nothing makes me feel as good as meditating.
Yeah.
And I just got to keep doing it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a big one. That's definitely so deep, so important, you know, a big part of the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just all have to do things that make us feel better.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
Find out
for
what those are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because my... like Root to Rise. Similarly, like I have been for the last couple weeks really trying to figure out what I'm abundant in so that I can kind of tap into it and hold on to it in these many moments that I've had where I have felt very not abundant. Mm-hmm. And what I realize that I am abundant in is my spirit.
Totally.
That is really the place where I am the most abundant. And it's so interesting because as I've been doing so much inner child work and all that, I've really come to recognize that it's my ancestors and the spiritual guides that I've had throughout my life that really raised me and got me to the point where I'm at. Because I grew up in a very, like, a home, like, totally devoid of love. Like, there was no, like, I never heard from my parents or my siblings the words, "I love you." And yet I still am, like, a very loving
person.
One
of the most loving people I know.
But what I realize is that, like, on a human level, I actually really struggle to love. Mm. Like, it's actually, I'm still really learning how to love humans.
Yeah.
But spiritually, and this is why I have such deep friendships and deep connections, because we're so deeply connected on a spiritual level.
Totally.
But on a human level, I do really struggle with that, and I'm working on it, and this is something that I want to continue to work on so that I can continue to be a better version of me.
Yeah.
And it's really my ancestors. Like, they're the ones who taught me about love and about unconditional love. Like, they're the ones that held me and made me feel loved growing up, because on a human level, I never really knew if I was loved. Like, I never knew that. I was always trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I was always trying to figure out my place in my home and in the situation that I was, like, growing up in.
Right.
But, like, the place that I always went to was, like, spirit. Like, I always used to, like, I used to sit in my room and just, like, talk to myself. And I know that everybody in my family thought I was so crazy, but I still do the same thing. I still sit in my room and I talk to myself, and it's literally my spiritual self having a conversation
that
with me.
So sweet.
And that's what she's been doing my entire life, and that's what my spirit has been doing my entire life. And so I'm so grateful for my spirituality. I'm so grateful to know that I'm super abundant in spirituality. And shout out to my ancestors, because they really have, you know, continued to, like, pull me along. But yeah, just, you know, I definitely think for me, like, that's where I've been kind of sitting. I've been super isolated the last couple of weeks with my spirit, but that's the only place where I have felt really safe and really just, like, secure. And safety and security are very important to me.
That's right.
So I'm just super grateful for that, and just super grateful for the awareness that I'm gaining in this time and all that I'm learning about myself right now and all that I'm learning about humans and how to love humans, because it's certainly a part of me that I'm still developing.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
We're all on that journey in different places.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's my Root to Rise.
I'm proud of you, my friend.
Thank you.
I love you. All right. Well, we will see you guys very soon at the Green Veggie Babe Workshop and other things. Follow us on the gram to know what's happening. And we'll see you guys next week. We love ya. Thanks for listening.